Good morning. My name is Dr. Debbie Early, and I'm the founder of The Art of the Awareness, which is located at the Blue Water Lodge at the top of the South Island in Aotearoa, New Zealand. And today I'm absolutely delighted to have with me Jennifer Walsh, who lives in New York City, so at the opposite end of the world from me.
Quite literally.
So welcome, Jennifer. Would you like to tell me a little bit, or tell listeners a little bit about who you are and what you're doing? And hopefully we're going to talk today a little bit about belonging, biophilia, and beauty, and we both have overlapping interests. So over to
So much.
you.
Yes. Thank you, Debbie. I'm so thrilled to just speak with you and see your face again. I know it's been a few months since we last chatted, so I'm very appreciative, and I apologize for the raspy voice. I've had quite a little bit of a cold, a fall cold here in New York City. But, and I love that we are speaking from opposite ends of the world, which is really, really fun. So it's, and I love also the idea of that belonging and beauty and biophilia, because I know this has been both of our work, our lifelong work in different capacities. And it's so interesting how, when we really kind of hone down into what it all is, it all just interweaves so beautifully, because it really is about the human connection to the planet and to one another, and why it matters, I think, more than ever. And I've been in beauty for almost 30 years. So I started out as actually a makeup artist for celebrities here in the US, and it moved into a TV show, TV segments, and then I opened a chain of stores that started in 1997 called Beauty Bar. And I grew that business until 2010, and I sold it. And Amazon now owns beautybar.com. And I started a few other beauty brands after that, and worked with other beauty brands globally to help launch and create new products and new storefronts. And I love retail. I've always loved retail. So when I created my first store, everyone kept telling me I was doing it all wrong, and that no one ever cared about the interior of a store. And I always thought, well, no, I want people to feel like they're coming into my home and just feel welcomed and warm and comforted, and never oversold. And I would have green walls and lots of wood and water. And my first location was across the street from the beach in Florida. So it was quite lovely. And palm trees outside the windows. And it just had this feeling that just felt good. And I wanted everyone of all ages, of all abilities, just to come and just explore, or just be there and speak with one another. And it was such, Debbie, it was such an interesting experience, because I opened this first store and I was so young, in my 20s. I didn't know what I was doing. And it was so hard. But at the same time, it was this opportunity to create an experience in a community and become a part of the community in such a way that I never would have anticipated. And then I got to know people and go to weddings and funerals and births and death and and marriages. And it was a really lovely chapter of my life that I look back on so fondly, and I'm so thankful,
Well,
because it gave.
sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
No, go ahead.
Well, I think when I saw your background in beauty, that was actually one of the things that initially got me curious about what you're doing, because you may or may not know, but when I was younger, I also, and naive perhaps, I started a artisanal botanical fragrance line. And actually created the first artisanal botanical scent bar in Chester County in Pennsylvania, where I was living. And so I was incredibly interested in fragrance and natural fragrances, particularly. At one point, I even came up to New York City to go to an event called Sniffapalooza, which was all about fragrance.
Yes. Yes, I remember that event. I know it well. That's amazing.
It is interesting how what we learn, and certainly, we can look back and experience challenge. Think it's hard. It's hard to navigate the world in a professional and personal capacity. And I think that both you and I have obviously spent time walking outside as we're trying to process some of these challenges. And that was another reason I was drawn to reach out to you. Both of us, you walking in aspects and living in the urban jungle, and me now experiencing the real life jungle, because where
Yes.
we live, it's boat access only, or people do fly in with a helicopter, but there's no road. And the other important thing to remember is different countries have different ways of talking about things. So when I lived in the States, when I lived in the Northeast for 20 years, people used to talk about going hiking. But now that I live in Aotearoa, New Zealand, they describe the track where I live as a walking track. It's not a hiking track.
Really?
If you go out into the back country or the bush, then it's called tramping. And in the US, tramping's got a totally different meaning
I
or
love
association.
that. Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Oh, I love that, Debbie. I didn't know about the tramping and that your ex I knew about your experience with the Sniffapalooza and your fragrance, but I didn't know all the years that you were also dedicated to the Northeast and also, the hiking and walking is really it's really funny. But you're right, it all overlaps and it's all about our connection to our senses and our spaces and how we feel when we're around other people and that gift of it all, right? It's just that human connection and how we listen to one another, really. How we
Yes,
show up.
and also I think just sort of understanding that we all have that human aspect, but how we describe it and the words we use might be different depending on the places that we're living in and the cultures that we're part of. So that to me is actually something that's really intrigued me. And that's how I started the Art of Awareness, which will be coming up for its sixth anniversary in November of this year. So really, moving on, what are you focusing now on? I know you've got your project, The Lost Art of Being Human, and
Yes.
do you want to tell me a little bit about what you envisage for that and what you see as art and being human and why that's important?
Well, it's funny because I wasn't really thinking about this until it was December 2022 when I saw this whole new thing called ChatGPT, which wasn't really new, but to most of us, it was new. And I said, oh my gosh, this is really happening that there's going to be even more technology in our lives than we already have now. And I already see how it affects so many, especially young people, but everybody, and how it really is such a big part of our lives. And I know like how important it is, as Richard Louv likes to always, say, we need more green time. When there's more screen time, we need to counterbalance that with green time. And not just that, with it just like you, like your work, it's like that awareness of why. And how we have to cultivate those in-person relationships more so now than ever before. So the Lost Art of Being Human is really a collective of interdisciplinary people and projects to really kind of hone in on why in-person relationships are just as important as social media relationships. I see so many people really struggling with trying to keep up with these algorithms that are not human. And they are trying to compete and trying to say, well, I'm not getting enough likes, or I'm not getting enough visibility, or I'm not going viral. When it's a losing battle. You're up against a machine, and a machine is not human. And I just don't want people to lose hope in what it means to be human, and to really like love art and love music and love what it means to be human in this changing, very quickly changing world. And to get back to having conversations and cooking together and art and music and feeling and touching and using our senses. And also for here, being in New York City, it's so hard for me to walk down the street. All I just see are people with their heads down, and they are becoming the machine without even really understanding that their sense of awareness is gone. And the amount of people that smack into me every day, I mean, and just hit me head on. Because they have the big earbuds on or their headphones on and they're looking down and then they get mad at me. So it's just, it makes me sad.
And I know that's one reason you've been trying to encourage people to take walks in Central Park and been focusing on that area. And I think, one of the things that happens with that lack of awareness when people are focused on their screens is also people start to become isolated and
Yes.
there's a loss of a sense of belonging.
Yes.
And that's one of the reasons I actually created the studio, The Art of Awareness. It actually started when I experienced the mental anguish and physical pain of not being able to jo of ex having a spinal cord injury and not being able to join a friend to go hiking on the Appalachian Trail. We'd spent several months building up, planning, buying all the equipment, preparing psychologically, and a few days before, I had to cancel and send her an email to say, "You're going to have to go without me." And I had actually been practicing mindfulness meditation for stress reduction previously. I picked that up very sadly when a friend, my best friend, had passed away from cancer a few years previously. And when I damaged my back, I wasn't actually able to walk easily. I couldn't even feed myself properly. And that lasted for almost a year. And I would spend time staring out the window at the garden and lying on a sort of bench, a massage table out in the garden, in the gazebo. And I couldn't read, and I love books and gardens. And so it was really difficult in all sorts of ways. And eventually signed up for a meditation teacher training because I thought, well, I can at least listen to the audio and I can do that. And maybe it'll help me. And when I recover, I'll be able to help and support others. Because I recognized there was more than just the physical pain. There was the what we call secondary pain, the emotional aspect. And so I then started looking at the healthcare that I'd received and where there were gaps in the sort of mind-body connection aspect. And eventually reached out to some physical therapists who were very keen to work with me, and we developed a mindfulness for pain relief program for people experiencing back pain. But also simultaneously, I was having conversations with medical anthropologist because I was trying to understand what I'd learned from living and working across five different countries in different healthcare environments. And I was starting to become very much more interested in self-awareness and eco-psychology and how it all fitted together. And basically, that was how the art of awareness actually was started. It's both a physical space, a virtual space now, and also a way of being. And self-aware, it really what we're looking at is self-awareness, which is exploring our beliefs, of our ways of seeing, our values. And why I think it's so important is because action begins with awareness. And
Wow, Debbie, that's I don't mean to interrupt you, but like you are just it's hitting it on the head of the nail, right? It's you have the toolkit, first of all, to get through that experience. So you kind of offer that toolkit to others because I can't imagine going through what you did, and how do you find that within you to kind of say, I have to, I need better skills to get through not being able to walk, not being able to get outside, not being able to read and do the things you love to do.
Oh,
That's
it was incredibly, incredibly difficult. And the biggest challenge for me was that I didn't, it was invisible. In that, I mean, it was visible. There were aspects that were visible and aspects that were invisible. I wasn't in a wheelchair, but I couldn't easily walk without excruciating pain. And the physical pain wasn't visible, and it wasn't like having a cast on or a neck brace where somebody can see it. And so to me, that then presented another huge amount of challenges, and it got me thinking an incredible amount about the invisible challenges we face. And I think that's also why I created the Art of Awareness, because it was to address what it is to be human. How do we balance the joy and the love with the loss and the despair? What is it to be human? And I think that's what both of us are exploring, which is partly why I wanted to have the conversation today, because as AI moves in, and is starting to take over so many things, what it means to be human is going to become even more important. And also, as we engage with each other, as we connect with the natural world, or if we don't, because both you and I recognize that without the health of the natural world, we don't have health. But there's also quite a strong tendency I'm seeing at the moment to declare biophilia, but not actually move that to action. And that's where I'm hoping the art of awareness and self-awareness that I'm offering will come in. To things like design and how we design for biophilia, or biophilic connection, nature connection, and belonging, because these address the two biggest crises that I see at the moment: the loneliness pandemic and the pollution, biodiversity loss, and climate crises, which are often approached as silos. But I'm hoping that with my different experiences and with collaborators and partners and support with people like you, we can help bridge that gap. Because even though you're in New York City and I'm here, we're all part of the same whole. It's not disconnected, and it's not separate. As humans, we're facing the same challenges in life.
That's so
So
true.
hopefully moving forward, these are some of the things that we can address. Before we finish up, because I know we were wanting to keep this somewhat short and sweet.
No, because we could talk for an hour. I have so much more to say, but I know we
We
can go
could, and in
for
person, I think we'd go on and have a
We
wonderful
really
time.
could.
But is there anything that you would like to add?
I think what you just, I want to add one thing with just when you talked about climate, because I was just having this conversation not even an hour or two ago about climate and what's happening, and it could be so much doom and fear, but we always try to, through nature, it's always through the lens of hope. So when we have nature in our pocket to understand, but also the awareness of what's happening in our own backyard, because for so long we put these four walls around us and nature is there and we're here. And I see it a lot, especially in New York City. It's almost like that doesn't pertain to me. I'm here and I'm there. That's there. But since we don't even know what's happening around us, how are we expected to even care about climate change? Because we've become so separate from the natural world. And the case I was just speaking about was we're having such one of the warmest months, one of the warmest Octobers on record, and we're about to break all-time record of no rain for the entire month of October. That the trees, so we have so many beautiful ginkgo trees in New York City, which it might surprise many people, but it's so exquisitely beautiful at the end of October, where usually all the streets are just cascading with yellow upon yellow upon yellow, and it's beautiful to watch. And it rains yellow leaves usually the first week or second week of November. The ginkgo trees are still completely green. There's no yellow at all. And I was saying that to a group of people the other day, and they said, "What are you talking about?" And it's that lack of awareness, what's in our own backyard. So how do we expect people to care globally if they're not even invested in their own street, their own backyard? What's happening outside my window? I mean, it's important. Like what your work is like this awareness, a situational awareness of your own little neighborhood, because again, you might be there and I'm all the way here, but we are so intrinsically connected to why it matters. And if you're healthy, then I'm going to be healthy. And if your side of the world's okay, then so is ours. And it's all, the reciprocity of how we care for one another. And it's so deeply rooted in our souls to care, that it's, the work's important. And I'm glad that you're doing the work you are, because we need your voice, I think, more now than ever before, to continue to kind of hone in on the lessons of why it matters, and especially for younger people who might not understand it as fully, and also older, more mature people, like myself, or even people that are older. It's important.
Well, thank you. I think we all inspire each other in different ways, and we all learn from each other in different ways. And it's also important to remember that none of us ever stop learning. And I think sometimes it's easy to forget that. But we can compost our ideas and sort of sprout new ones and move forward with that.
So
So
true.
yes, it's been wonderful chatting with you.
Thank you,
I could
Jennifer.
add sharing more experiences about extreme weather, but maybe
Oh,
we'll save that
another time for sure. I
another
would love that conversation. I really would.
Yes. All right. Thanks very much, Jennifer, and
Debbie.
enjoy your fall as we move into summer. All
Enjoy your
right.
summer.
Thank
Appreciate it.
you.
Thank you
Bye
very
bye.
much.